Well, all right, let's try it out. So, Doctor, the Big Bang, prior to that, no mass, hence no gravity. And I guess my question would be, how did the Big Bang happen without consciousness of some sort being involved?
Well, I think part of the problem here is that we're thinking in terms of the old paradigm, and we know the world just isn't out there independent of the observer. So again, that indeed is consciousness. So that when you think about whether it's the early part of the universe or even earlier, all the way back to the Big Bang, that is basically what you would see if in fact you were there. So in fact, if you were the observer, you could actually trace back you talking to me right now, all the way back theoretically to the moment where the logic is that actually comes to an end. So if you think about right now, you're a human being, you're made up of the carbon molecules. Again, some of those molecules were made, along the way, during the evolution of the Milky Way and other earlier stages. And then just after the Big Bang, actually, as you go back in time, actually the atoms start to then the components that actually made up atoms were formed, so the electrons and the nuclei, they were formed. Then you can go back even further to, there are different particles inside those particles that, in theory, go all the way back. And then just before that, when you come to the bottom of that whole the backwards in evolution, you come to the point of where the logic starts. So it's basically an extrapolation of our own existence, of our spatial temporal thing. So again, it's like that round globe we were talking about. You have the globe, and in theory you could go to Antarctica, but until you don't know whether you can really get there, and so you could probably never go back to the Big Bang. It's only theoretical. So, but that is in theory what you would see. But so there is no observer, there is no reality, and nothing. So before the Big Bang, is meaningless. It has no meaning because, in fact, at that point, you've gone to the bottom. Just like
right, but the Big Bang has meaning, and yes. Without anybody to observe it,
there would be nothing.
There would be nothing. So, how did it even, in fact, occur without a conscious direction?
And you're exactly it. And if there's nothing, then there was nothing there to observe it. And so you're getting into this sort of circular words. Our languages and our science are very primitive tools. So what happens is that in physics they say that everything exists in this probability state, and it's not until you observe it that anything at any point in the universe or any place in the universe could exist. And that applies in whether it's just after the instance of the Big Bang, if you want to talk about it that way, or in the future or the present, or whether it's on the moon or here on Earth, everything, even according to even the experiments in the micro world, they're probability states. And not until the observer is involved, and again, that's because reality is a process that involves our consciousness, they're not there. But anything that is part of that spatial temporal logic indeed would only exist, obviously through the process of consciousness. I know this is
it's okay. I'm with you until we begin talking about that Big Bang. And
right.
How did the Big Bang even occur without conscious observation?
Well, again, this is it. The Big Bang no more occurs than anything else. So again, John Wehrer's line, no phenomena is a real phenomena until it's an observed phenomena. So whether you're talking about the Big Bang or your table or your chair, again, every one of those particles is just an uncertainty wave, and they don't have real particles and real properties until they're observed. So whether you're talking about now or the Big Bang, nothing changes. Is that making any sense?
I'm not sure.
Yeah, it's tough because I'm
not sure. In other words, nothing is until it is observed, and yet we know the Big Bang occurred.
Well, we don't.
Though we didn't observe it, your theory suggests that it was observed.
No, not at all. No, I'm not saying.
No.
As a matter of fact, what even John Wehrer was saying is that there's light reaching the Earth today from distant parts of the universe that didn't even exist. And when you see them, only then did the path of that light and the existence of that light actually happen. So there, and there are probably many physicists who would also agree, possibly even Stephen Hawking, that the point is this whole parts of the history of our universe that until they're observed, they don't exist. And it's uncertainty. That's, again, one of the foundations of quantum theory in physics is that there's uncertainty in virtually any possible event. And until you observe it, that uncertainty doesn't go away. So anything in the past, as in that science experiment, what you do right now, again, in that experiment, they actually sent particles into it. And it was what you did now in the present actually could change what happened in the past. So there's uncertainty in, again, this is the now Stephen Hawking's new top-down cosmology, that you have to have the present before you can have the history. And so, again, this is the problem with the Big Bang, is that we're used to thinking of the universe in reverse, that it was this Big Bang and there were all these little molecules bouncing around and here we are. And, in fact, that's wrong. The problem is that you need to, it actually goes in the other direction. It's the observer creates the properties of the particles and the causality that's associated with that then has collapsed. The probability wave for the whole universe, for our whole history at that point take on a real form, if that makes any sense.